ವಿವಸ್ವತೇ ಯೋಗಂ ಪ್ರೋಕ್ತವಾನಹಮವ್ಯಯಂ. ವಿವಸ್ವಾನ್ ಮನವೇ ಪ್ರಾಹ. ಮನುರಿಕ್ಷ್ವಾಕವೇ ಬ್ರವೀತ್. ವಿವಸ್ವಾನ್ ಮನವೇ ಪ್ರಾಹ. ಮನುರಿಕ್ಷ್ವಾಕವೇ ಬ್ರವೀತ್. ಸೋ ನೌ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಗಿವನ್ ದ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸಾರಹ, ದ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸಾರಹ ಇನ್ ಟರ್ಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕರ್ಮಯೋಗ ಅಂಡ್ ಜ್ಞಾನ ಯೋಗ. ದನ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಮೈ ಥಿಂಕ್ ದಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಎ ವೆರಿ ನ್ಯೂ ಫಿಲಾಸಫಿ. ದೇ ಮೇ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಕರ್ಮಯೋಗ, ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಜ್ಞಾನ ಯೋಗ, ಸೊ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಗಿವ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ವೆರಿ ನ್ಯೂ. ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಮೆನಿ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಜನರಲಿ ಆರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಒಪಿನಿಯನ್ ದಟ್ ಯು ನೋ ಗೀತಾ ಈಸ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎ ಟೋಟಲಿ ನ್ಯೂ ಫಿಲಾಸಫಿ. ಲಾಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಎ ಗೀತಾ ಫಿಲಾಸಫಿ. ಆಸ್ ದೇ ಸೇ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಗೇವ್ ಅ ಲಾಟ್ ವೆರಿ ನ್ಯೂ ಫಿಲಾಸಫಿ. ಜನರಲಿ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಥಿಂಕ್ ದಟ್ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಗೇವ್ ಅ ಫಿಲಾಸಫಿ, ಗೀತಾ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ಎ ನ್ಯೂ ಫಿಲಾಸಫಿ. ಸೊ ಎವ್ರಿ ಟೀಚರ್ ನಾರ್ಮಲಿ ದೇ ಫೇಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪ್ರಾಬ್ಲಮ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದಿ ಸ್ಟೂಡೆಂಟ್ಸ್, ಫಾರ್ ಎವ್ರಿ ಸ್ಟೂಡೆಂಟ್ ದಟ್ ಟೀಚರ್ ಇಸ್ ಯುನೀಕ್. ಸೊ ದೇ ಥಿಂಕ್ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ದಟ್ ಟೀಚರ್ ಟೀಚರ್ ದ ನ್ಯೂ ಫಿಲಾಸಫಿ, ದೇ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಗಿವ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಎ ನ್ಯೂ ಫಿಲಾಸಫಿ. ಸೊ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್, ಸಮಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ದೇ ಈವನ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ ಅನ್ ಇಸಮ್ ಟು ಇಟ್. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಎ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸಮ್, ಸಮ್ ಮತ್ತು ಇಸಮ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ದೇ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್. ಸೊ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಫೇಸಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಸಿಚುವೇಶನ್. ಸೊ ಹಿ ವಾಂಟ್ಸ್ ಟು ಕ್ಲಾರಿಫೈ ಥ್ರೂ ಅರ್ಜುನ, ಹಿ ವಾಂಟ್ಸ್ ಟು ಟೆಲ್ ದಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಎ ನ್ಯೂ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ ಅಟ್ ಆಲ್. ದಿಸ್ ಗೀತಾ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಹೀಸ್ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಎ ನ್ಯೂ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ ಅಟ್ ಆಲ್. ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಬಟ್ ದ ವೇದಿಕ್ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ ವಿಚ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಕಮ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ವೆನ್, ಅನಾದಿಕಾಲ ಪರಂಪರ, ಫ್ರಮ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಇಮ್ಮೆಮೋರಿಯಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಬೀನ್ ಬ್ರಾಡ್ ಡೌನ್. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ ನ್ಯೂ ದಟ್ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್. ಐ ಮೈಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಗೇವ್ ಔಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ವಿಸ್ಡಮ್ ಟು ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ವಾಟ್, ವೇದಾಸ್. ಐ ಗೇವ್ ದಿಸ್ ಎಂಟೈರ್ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ವೇದಾಸ್ ಅಟ್ ದಟ್ ಟೈಮ್. ದೇರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಹೀ ಸೆಡ್ ವಾಟ್, ಸಹ ಯಜ್ಞ ಪ್ರಜಾ ಸೃಷ್ಟ್ವಾ ಪುರಾವಾಚ ಪ್ರಜಾಪತಿ, ದಟ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಹೀ ಸೆಡ್. ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಹಿಂಟೆಡ್ ಅಟ್ ದಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ನೌ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಕ್ಲಾರಿಫೈಯಿಂಗ್, ಐ ಮೈಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಗೇವ್ ಔಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ವಿಸ್ಡಮ್. And when I gave this for the first time, it was called what? Vedas. Now when I am teaching this now, it is called the Gita. That is the only difference, but the same teaching. Yo Brahmanam Vedadati Purvam Yo Ve Vedamcha Prahinoti Tasmai. The Lord created Brahmaji. And he instructed first this entire Vidya to him. And he taught Vedas to Lord Brahma. Brahma received it. And through his four faces, Chaturmukhas, faces, he gives out the four Vedas. That is how this thing came into the human society. And thus, it is a parampara, parampara praptavya. So, this is not something that is taught only new today. Actually, everybody in the Hindu tradition is not any founder of a new philosophy. This is very, very unique thing in our culture. It's only an intermediary link. There was this teaching already. And because of advancement of time for various reasons, it became weak. So there was a booster required. Unless you have an original signal, you cannot boost anything. So there was some original signal from the Vedas. And these boosters were, they all came in time, various times. Adi Shankaracharya came, so many Acharyas came. They tried only to boost this signal so that it will stay in the society. So no one is the founder of our philosophy at all. And this parampara, which has come down from the Lord, is believed to be, there are two paramparas. One representing the grahastha parampara. The grahastha parampara where the wisdom is maintained in the society itself. Grahastha parampara, all the people who are in family life and all, it is maintained in the society itself. Because earlier we said that two types of styles are possible. A jnani, he can be either in the grahastha ashrama, he can live in the society, or he can be in the sannyasa ashrama. So he had the choice, a choice of lifestyle, a grahastha lifestyle or a sannyasa lifestyle. Therefore, there were these great grahasthas were available those days. They were all great grahasthas who were very wise. And there were also sannyasis who were equally wise. So they were all there in the society. Shukacharya, Shaunakacharya, all these people are all wise sannyasis. They were all sannyasis, sannyasi parampara, or it is called Nivritti parampara. We already used this term earlier. They are called the Nivritti parampara. Similarly, there is a Pravritti parampara. Pravritti parampara, and in that parampara, we had the Brahmana parampara. And even among the Kshatriyas, there were a lot of Kshatriya kings. Janaka, King Janaka was a Kshatriya. But he was a great Brahmajnani also, a Kshatriya parampara. So they also had the knowledge of Atmajnana. So Marichi, Marichi Pravridayaha, all those people, they were wise. And they gave that wisdom to whom? To their children. So they were in Grahastha Ashrama. They taught this wisdom to their own children. In Grahastha Parampara, it continued. So the entire thing continued. So they didn't have to go and search for new Shishyas. They taught their own children. See, actually, that is how the entire tradition was built. Father is an Ashari. Son is also an Ashari. See, he is a goldsmith. He is also a goldsmith. That's how the entire thing came. That parampara was kept alive like that for generations. So, whether it is a son or a daughter, the father taught them. So, Krishna says, I myself taught this wisdom to the Kshatriya parampara. To the Kshatriya parampara long, long ago. You are a Kshatriya now. But I have taught this to Kshatriyas long, long ago. Imam yogam, avyayam yogam, aham vivasvate proktavan. That's what he says here. O Arjuna, I myself taught this particular wisdom, this yoga, to whom? To Vivaswan. Vivaswan is whom? Vivaswan is Surya Bhagavan. Surya Bhagavan's another name is Vivaswan, who is supposed to be the first member of creation. So I gave this wisdom to Vivaswan, the Surya Bhagavan. Vivaswan means Vivaha. Vivaha means energy. Annam Shaktihi. That is Vivaswan. So Urjam is called Vivaswan. Vivas. And Vivaswan, Vivaha Asya Asti Iti Vivaswan. So the one who is very, very powerful person, that is Vivaswan Surya Bhagavan. And he is the first member of the Surya Vamsha. The Surya dynasty. He is the first member of that dynasty. From that, Vaivasvata Manu came. And then on, the entire parampara continued. So, and Aham Proktavan, I taught Surya Bhagavan. What did I teach? Imam Avyayam Yogam. This imperishable, eternal wisdom, I taught Surya Bhagavan. That's what Krishna says. Who is telling? Krishna is telling now. And here yoga stands for what? Stands for both Karma Yoga and Sankhya or Jnana Yoga, both put together. So I taught these two yogas to Surya Bhagavan. So, Adhyaya Dvaya Lakshana, that is the second chapter's, what is the goal, what is the topic of second chapter is Sankhya or Jnana Yoga. And the third chapter topic is what? Karma Yoga. Both I taught. I myself taught. And what type of yoga it is? Avyayam. Avyayam Yoga. Avyayam means it is imperishable. It is eternal. Because Krishna will say later that sometimes the teaching may get weakened. Because over a period of time so many other things happen. So they may become weakened. But people getting more and more interested in the material world. So when they become more and more in material world, this is going to get weakened only because there is not that much emphasis on this. They will study all other this thing. They will study French, they will study German, they will study this, that and all that they will study, but they will not come to the study of Vedanta. They won't come. So a time might come when Vedanta might not have any value at all, and even when it comes to that condition, I won't allow. That's what Krishna says. So because of all this deterioration, if there is a time that might come that Vedanta will have no value, but I won't allow that to happen at all. I myself will take an avatara. I will take an avatara and give a boost to it or give a push to it. That's what he is going to say later. So the wisdom will be eternal and it will be maintained eternally. So it is avyaya, okay, imperishable. And we need not be frightened that it will be lost. We don't have to be frightened at all. That is actually the strength of our tradition. You had onslaught of the entire thing by Muslims, by the British, everything happened. For several hundreds of years, nothing happened to them. If you take all other societies, if you go to the Persian society in Iran, everybody is converted to Islam. There is no Persian society there at all. In several other Iraq, so many other societies, the 100% everything was changed. But the Muslims and the British ruled us for how many centuries? Still majority are Hindus in Hinduism. And That is because the power of this tradition, the strength of this tradition. That's how it is. And actually Shankara gives another meaning also for this. Avyayam means avyayam palatvad avyayam. It gives infinite results. It is not only imperishable, it gives infinite results, eternal results it gives. Because the Shastram itself is eternal. And it gives person what? Moksha. Moksha is eternal. So the phalam is also eternal. The Shastram is also eternal. So Adi Shankaracharya says, Abhyayam gives because it gives the phalam, which is eternal. So it is eternal, the result also is eternal. Shastram is called Abhyayam. Okay. And when Krishna says, I taught this to Surya Bhagavan, this may be a small problem. For example, Kaushik may ask this question. If he taught this to Surya Bhagavan, then in what language did he teach him? It is not the language of Bhagavad Gita, because Gita is today. Gita is now, he is teaching to Arjuna today. So in what language Krishna taught the Surya Bhagavan this particular Vidya? So the language was different. That was the language of the Vedas. So he taught Surya Bhagavan in the language of Vedas. He is teaching to Arjuna today in the language of Gita, in the form of Gita. So the language differs, but what does not differ? The content does not differ. The container differs, but the content does not differ. And that, what did Vivaswan do? Vivaswan, Surya Bhagavan, what did he do? He also very faithfully transferred this wisdom to his son, known as Vaivasvata Manu. So his son's name is Vaivasvata Manu. He transferred this wisdom to him. So Vivaswan Manave Praha. Manave means Manu, to Manu. He transferred this wisdom to Vaivasvata Manu. And what Manu did? Manu whom Ikshvakave Abraviyata. Manu taught this to Ikshvaku. They are all in the same parampara, the same lineage. So Manu taught this to Ikshvaku. Ikshvaku Vamsha Prabhavaha Ramo Nama Janai Shrutaha. So in that Ikshvaku parampara only who came? Rama came. So he came in the parampara of Ikshvaku. See Surya Vamsha. So Ikshvaku in that parampara, Rama also got the same wisdom. Rama is an avatara. Lord Mahavishnu originally taught this to Brahmaji, Surya Bhagavan. The entire thing came, Ikshvaku. And Rama, who is an avatara, same thing is taught to Rama because he was an avatara who became as a human being. It was taught to him also. So in that family comes Raghu. Okay, so it is called the Raghu Vamsa. You can call it Surya Vamsa, you can call it Raghu Vamsa or Ikshvaku Vamsa, all are same only, all the same lineage. And Sita belongs to what Vamsa? Chandra Vamsa. She belongs to Chandra Vamsa. So Surya and Chandra together. Right? Rama is Surya Vamsa and Sita is Chandra Vamsa. So thus the parampara was maintained. Then what happened? What should not have happened? Happened. What is that? Evam parampara praptam.
Evam parampara praptam. Evam parampara praptam.
Imam rajashayo viduhu.
Imam rajashayo viduhu. Imam rajashayo viduhu.
Evam parampara praptam. Imam rajashayo viduhu.
Evam parampara praptam. Imam rajashayo.
Sakale neha mahata.
Sakale neha mahata. Sakale neha mahata.
Yogo nashta parantapa.
Yogo nashta parantapa. Yogo nashta parantapa.
Sakale neha mahata. Yogo nashta parantapa.
Sakale neha mahata. Yogo nashta parantapa. Sakale neha mahata. Yogo nashta parantapa.
Evam imam parampara praptam. This wisdom, thus this wisdom comes down in the world in the form of Guru Shishya Parampara. It has been coming down like that. Guru Shishya Paramparaya Ayam Yogaha Praptaha. How eva? As mentioned in the previous loka, it was coming down like that. So Uparyukta Prakarena, it was coming down. And this Guru Shishya can be in the form of either Pitru Putra Parampara, father-son, as we have seen, you know, in these dynasties, all that. Or it can be from a teacher to a student who may not be his son also. This is all possible. So the Chandra Vamsa also has the same parampara. Suri Vamsa has a similar parampara. So KK Raja is called Ashwapati. Ashwapati is a Brahmagyani. Kaikeyi is father. This Ashwapati, he is a Brahmagyani. Like Janaka is a Brahmagyani, he is a Brahmagyani. He is, even though he was a Kshatriya king, he was a Brahmagyani also. So he had his parampara. He was teaching to his children and all that. So among sannyasis also there was similar parampara was there. So many paramparas were coming down. Many lineages are coming down. And Rajarshayo Viduho, this yoga, the Rajarishis, these are called Rajar, because Janaka is a Rajarishi. Ashwapati is a Rajarishi. The great Kshatriyas, they all knew this wisdom. They were all Kshatriyas and they all had this wisdom. They all knew this wisdom. And actually in the third chapter itself, we have already seen Janakadayaha. Janakadayaha we saw in the third chapter. He was a Brahmagyani. He is from the Chandra Vamsha. So in the Chandra Vamsha also there were Brahmagyanis. Suri Vamsha there were Brahmagyanis. And these all are Kshatriyas. So all these Kshatriyas, they were all wise men and they are called Rajarshayaha. Rajarshayaha means they are Rajas and they are also Rishis. Okay, because of wisdom. Literally, Rishi means what? Not the one who dwells in forest and all. Rishi means we normally think he should live in a secluded life in a forest and all that thing. They are called Rishis because the one who always is in meditation, sits in meditation. But he is a wise person who is always ever aware of his Swarupa, his nature. He may not be a person sitting in the forest. Janaka is always in the kingdom. He is taking care of day-to-day activities in the kingdom. But he is always aware his nature, his Swarupam he knows. So Rishi means a wise person. Rishati Janati Atmatattvam Iti Rishihi. They know what? Atmatattvam. They know the nature of the self. They are these such people, they are called Rishi. Rish means to know. Rishihi means a seer, a person who is a knower, a wise person. So these kings were all Rishis. Now he is telling this to Arjuna because he is telling Kshatriya, because Arjuna is Kshatriya. So they knew this wisdom, but what happened then? Gradually, people became more and more extrovert. Instead of being introvert, they became more and more extrovert. Importance was given to what? More external possessions. They became more and more attracted towards external possessions. So there were too many distractions. There were number of vishayas. Vishayas, they are countless. They were all distracting them. So most of the time was wasted to procure and then to preserve. So yoga and kshema. Yoga kshema. If you actually go to Bombay, the life insurance building is called Yoga Kshema. That's a yoga kshema. You are always spending all the time to collect, acquire things. And having collected, what should you do? Protect. That's what you do all the time. Yoga kshema, all the time you have to protect. That's what. So distractions are too many and people are spending all the time only to these things and they don't have any time to spend on higher thinking at all. What is this world? Who am I? Nobody asks. That's why Ashikaraja, Kastvam, Koham, Kuta Ayataha. Nobody asks all these questions. Who are you? Who am I? Where did I come from? Who asks any of those questions? Nobody asks these questions at all. So living and just to run a family itself has become a competition now. That's become a challenge also. So people have no time for thinking any of the higher things at all. And during this entire Mahabharata time itself, this has happened. Not today. Today, maybe at least we can say it's a Kali Dosha. Mahabharata time itself, all these things have happened. So Krishna, he himself complains of this problem at that time. So he says, Mahata Kalena. Mahata Kalena due to the long passage of time. Mahata Kalena. He says, I am Yogaha Nashtaha. I am yoga, this wisdom, this Vedic tradition, it disappeared. Nashtaha. Here also Krishna uses the word Nashtaha. Nashtaha does not mean totally destroyed. Nashtaha means what? It disappeared. That means it was not popularly available. So it reached a stage where people lost track of it. It is not destroyed. They lost track of it. Because according to this thing, Nashtati means Adarshane. Adarshane means it is not popular, it is not seen as much. It's not popular. When it is popular, you will see it. It is there in TV, it is there in all those wall posts, everywhere it is there. But it is not popular anymore. So when not popular, only a few students in the ashramas or those things, they are perhaps aware of this. Others are not aware of this. The point is what? It is not totally wiped out. It is not destroyed. It is not wiped out. But it is not seen popularly. That's why Krishna says, Nashtaha. As other things are seen, but very feeble. It has become very weak. later Krishna is going to say glanihi yada yadahi dharmasyam glanir bhavati bharata. Glanihi means it becomes weak, it has become weak, and therefore it becomes necessary that somebody has to come to revive it, because it has become weak now, somebody has to come to revive it. And so it becomes a superhuman task, because it is so bad, it is so weak, somebody has to really come out to revive that. And whenever such situations come, it becomes whose responsibility to revive it? My responsibility. Krishna, Lord Krishna, it is my responsibility to do what? To take an avatar, to revive both Dharma Shastra and Vedanta Shastra. That becomes my responsibility. It is my duty to revive this. Anathakala Parampara, I am supposed to revive it with that double-fold purpose. To revive the Vedanta Shastra and the Dharma Shastra, what have I done? I have come down taking this avatara as Krishna. So I taught Surya Bhagavan, at that time Mahavishnu. I have taken the avatara today as Lord Krishna to give this jnanam as Bhagavad Gita. O Parantapa, Parantapa means Arjuna. Saye vayam maya tedhya.
Saye vayam maya tedhya.
Yoga prokta puranta puratanaha.
Yoga prokta puratanaha. Yoga prokta puratanaha.
Sayeva yammaya tedhya. Yoga prokta puratanaha.
Sayeva yammaya tedhya. Yoga prokta puratanaha. Sayeva yammaya tedhya. Yoga prokta
Bhaktosi me saka cheti.
Bhaktosi me saka cheti. Bhaktosi me saka cheti.
Rahasyam hetad uttamam.
Rahasyam hetad uttamam. Rahasyam hetad uttamam.
Bhaktosi me saka cheti. Rahasyam hetad uttamam.
Bhaktosi me saka cheti. Rahasyam hetad uttamam.
So here Krishna confirms that this teaching that he is giving out, he gave in the last two chapters, second and third chapters, is that the same wisdom which was disclosed through the Vedas. He says, Sa eva ayam yogaha. Sa eva, the same Vedic wisdom which was given to whom? Vivaswan Surya Bhagavan. The very same wisdom alone is this teaching given now through the past two chapters, second and third chapter. Sayevam ayam yogaha. Maya adhya proktaha has been taught by whom? By me. That has been taught to you now in a new language now. Because the language changes from time to time. That could be always change of language. The society changes. The language also changes. The idiom changes. The Tamil that they spoke several hundred years is not the same Tamil today. The Tamil spoken in Madras is not the same as what is in Madurai today. So Bangalore, Kannada is not real Kannada. So this is Delhi Hindi is not real. So this is how even today these changes we see. So over a period of time, all these languages, they change because societies change. So we ourselves can see within our own lifetime this language changes. So the language can be different, but the idea, the wisdom, that is not different at all. Therefore, yogaha proktaha. And what type of yoga it is? Puratanaha. Puratanaha means the ancient wisdom. The ancient wisdom. Then we may ask this question, should not the wisdom also change? Because the society has changed, then the wisdom also has to change. Don't we find that our old ideas are proved wrong and replaced by new ideas? Always we see it, right? There are old ideas. At that time, that was the greatest idea. After some time, now we say, oh no, all those ideas were wrong. Now these are new ideas. The very same chemistry, physics that we studied long, long ago, that present generation, what they study, you know, it's very, very difficult. Many things have changed. There's a lot of things. Because originally, what was the teaching? Atom cannot be split. That was what the most indivisible, you know, the most indivisible particle is atom. Long, long ago that was taught. Later you can now dissect it to so many small, small particles. So many things can be, you know, done out of that. So these things, they change. So according to new situations, even these things, this wisdom changes. Then should we not have to say that as the society changed, this wisdom also should not change at all or not? You may ask that question. And Krishna says, no. Answer is because the subject matter that we deal with here is what? Is unique subject matter. It's not what? Subject matter dealt with chemistry and physics. This is a unique subject matter. In all other sciences, they deal with what? They deal with the changing world. And so all sciences will have to all the time change, representing the changes in the world. It has to always change because in the light of new wisdom, things change. So new ideas, new concepts, they all come because they are dealing with a changing world, changing mind, changing ideas, changing concepts. So they all have to change. Whereas this wisdom is not that. Vedic wisdom is talking about the changeless truth. So they all talk about a changing phenomenon in the world. So they will be always changing. Whereas the Vedic wisdom talks about the changeless truth, the truth during Vyasa's time or Shankara's time or today, they have neither improved nor decreased. That is the ultimate truth that remains ever same. So this Vedas talks about only that truth. Even you cannot have a new concept here about the truth, because truth is not a concept also. We have to understand that. In science there are so many concepts that change, but truth is not a concept also. It is the very substratum of all concepts. The ultimate truth is the very substratum of all concepts. So Vedanta should not change at all. Vedanta will never change. A changing Vedanta becomes what? A materialistic Vedanta. So it can never change. So Vedanta need not and should not change also. Vedanta should never change. But the teaching method and the language may change. Depending on the society, the times, the teaching method may change. The teaching language may change. But it should not change. The truth cannot change. Okay, then we may ask this question. Vedanta might not change. Okay, how about Karma Yoga? Karma Yoga is action. That can change. Because Vedanta, you are telling ultimate truth. Karma Yoga, what about Karma Yoga? Krishna says, even that cannot change. No. Why? He says, we already understood Karma Yoga. Because Shastram, what it has said, Karma Yoga is what? Is not a type of action. Karma Yoga, karma is a type of action. Karma Yoga is not a type of action. It is, if it is a type of action, it can also change from time to time. But Karma Yoga is not a type of action. What it is? It is an attitude. That attitude cannot change. They might have tried, actually those days, you know, they might have killed the soil with bullocks. Right? They had bullocks only. So now we have so many machines, tractors and all, they are doing that. At that time they walk, now we are using car. Lifestyle has changed. All those things have changed. So the type of action may change. Tilling the soil with the bullocks and tilling the soil today with the tractor. Walking, going in a car. These are all type of actions. They all may change. If Karma Yoga is a type of action, it can also change. But Karma Yoga is only an attitude. It is only an attitude towards any action. Whatever may be the action, it is the attitude towards that action. And that attitude also should be the same all the time. It cannot change. In the 10th and the 12th centuries also, they might have used bullock carts, no problem. Now we may be using machines. But the attitude is what? Karmani eva adhikaraha te. You have got adhikara only for the action. That does not change whether it is using bullock cart or whether you are using some other machine today. Karmani eva ma paleshu. That is same at that time and now also. It is the same. That never changes. So I might be sending a rocket today, which my ancestors had not done it. But the attitude is what? I can only say karmani eva adhikara. That's how it is. So what happened to the Challenger rocket? Right? It went all the way, all the seven perished. Padeshu kadachanam adhikaraha nasti. You have no control on what happens. You might have sent the most advanced rocket to the space. What happens to it? You have no control on that. So the type of action may change from generation to generation, but Karma Yoga cannot change. Cannot change. Because whatever we do, the same attitude, that should be portrayed. So it is not that it will become the 21st century attitude. This is the same attitude. So karmani evam adhikarahate ma paleshu. It is not going to change in 21st century also, in 30th century also. So at the vyavaharika level, at the practical level, human's knowledge will be only limited. And so he can act in the world, and the result also will be ever unknown for him. Because knowledge is limited. He can never know the result as such. And so he can try to predict it, but what really comes out of it, we have no control on that. So Karma Yoga also will be in Puratanaha, and so also Jnana Yoga. Puratanaha means very ancient. Karma Yoga is also Puratanaha. Jnana Yoga also is Puratanaha. So this Puratana Yoga alone, I have taught you, O Arjuna. It is not any Krishnaism that I taught you. It is the Puratana Yoga, the ancient yoga, which was given out by the Vedas over the generations. The same thing I taught you. But it is the Vedic Dharma or Sanatana Dharma or Vaidika Dharma is what I have taught you. Bhaktaha asi iti aham proktavan. I have taught you only because what? Bhaktaha asi, you are my devotee. I am not going to go and teach it to a guy on the street. I am teaching you because you are my devotee. I consider you as my devotee. Why should Krishna say that? Because what does Shraddha means? Shraddha, see, only when you are a devotee, you have Shraddha. Shraddha is the faith. Guru Vedanta Vakyadishu Vishwasaha Shraddha. When the teacher teaches Vedanta or any concept, you should have the unconditional faith in that. Only when that is there, the person is called a true Sishya. And you have now faith in me, you have surrendered unto me, you have asked me to relieve you of your delusion, and because you are my Bhakta, I consider you a person worthy of this knowledge to be given. So I am teaching you because you are my student, you are my devotee. And this Shraddha is the fundamental attitude for the study of scriptures by any student, you seem to have it. Anasuyave eva. He had already said this in the third chapter. Anasuya is what? It's a very, very important thing. Not being very critical. Anasuya. When I study scriptures, I will go deeper and deeper with the basic faith I should have. What should the basic? I will gain something valuable from this. If I start becoming critical and try to argue in a manner which can be counterproductive, Vidandavada. If I start doing all that, I will go nowhere. I should have the fundamental faith. Scriptures are true. Scriptures are given out by the Lord. They are giving the ultimate wisdom. And I am now studying that. I may have confusion. I may not understand properly. I have to go and seek help. But scriptures are not wrong. That faith I should have. And that is the ultimate faith one should have. So it is pramanam for teaching something. That ultimate faith I should have. This attitude is called Shraddha or Bhakti. Devotion and faith, they go together. So you have got that devotion to me. And what else? Me sakachayati. When you happen to be my friend also. You are not only my devotee, you are my saka also. You are my friend also. Because the definition of a friend is what? The one who shares the sukham and also the dukkham of another person. He alone is a true friend. He not. We'll have a lot of friends who will be good to you when you have sukham. When dukkham comes, they are all far away. They are not. Person who will share both sukham and dukkham. He is called a friend. And as a friend, I want to help you. I have to help you. Because you are in delusion now. You are in moha. So I have to now help you. So I have a duty to help you. And you are my devotee. Therefore, you will listen to my teaching also. So you are my friend. I have a duty to help. You are my devotee. So when I teach, you will listen. So both these things go together. So I will be able to teach you. So because of these two reasons, I am teaching you. Otherwise, I would not have taught this wisdom to you at all. Krishna himself very categorically says, Hetadat uttamam rahasyam. Really speaking, this is a great secret. Uttamam rahasyam. What I am teaching you is a uttamam rahasyam. I should not have taught you at all otherwise. That's uttamam rahasyam. This is one of the, actually this is another method of drawing attention. You have to tell him this is very secret. Then the moment you secret, then his ears are sharpened. Till that time, he is just carrying as a conversation. You say secret, only for you I am telling. Then he is more attentive. So he says, that this is one to draw attention. See, people normally like to listen to, you know, secrets. This psychology. But here there is some meaning also. Rahasyam. Rahasyam means what? That which is known only to a few people. Rahasyam is something secret, is something known only to a few people. That is a secret. Okay? And if at all you tell others, then what happens? Normally some people, you know, they say, secret is that which you tell one person at a time. may tell other people. You tell him, no, I'm telling you a secret. You go and tell the other guy also same secret. You didn't announce it on a platform. He was told individually 100 people. So people normally define it like that. So if at all you tell, you look around and then you whisper. Normally people whisper into the ear. Secret. Similarly, Brahma Vidya is called Rahasyam because only very few people know it. Not many people can know Brahma Vidya, right? It's only known to Manushyanam Sahasreshu, Kaschid Yata Visiddhaye, Yathatam Visiddhanam, Kaschin Mam Veti Tatvataha. Krishna is going to tell later. Even among the people, thousands of people, only a few people come here to learn Vedanta. Manushyanam Sahasreshu, among thousands of people, only a few people come to know. And having come to know, even among them, Yathatamapi Siddhanam, Kaschin Mam Veti Tatvataha. Only very, very, very few among the people who come also, they try to understand this. Very, very secretive thing, very, very difficult thing to understand. So, only very few people make the attempt, and among those who attempt also, only very, very few people succeed in understanding what is there. So, it is called a Rahasya. So, it is very secretive. And second reason is what? It has to be taught only to those who have sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi. You cannot teach this visya to everybody. They should have viveka, they should have vairagya, they should have samadhi shakti sampatti, they should have all these. Only to those people you can teach this. It cannot be openly and publicly taught. Asishyaya na dheyam. Actually in Ganapati Adarsish Upanishad, the Upanishad declares, if the person is not a Sishya, don't give this knowledge to him. Because Sishya means he will be qualified. Don't give this knowledge to him. Actually Shodasi, which is supposed to be the highest form of Devi Upasana, even if you heave, give your head, but don't give Shodasi to that person. So the scriptures are so forthright and strong about giving away Vidya to people. So because what? Na buddhi bedam janayet agyanam karma sanginam. Krishna himself says, you should not create confusion among people. Because once you say that Brahman is beyond dharma and adharma, you tell to common people, what they will think? Brahman is beyond dharma and adharma, I will do all adharma, no problem. So they are going to say all this. So Krishna himself later says, sarva dharman paridyajya mamekam sharanam praja. Abandoning all your dharmas, you only surrender unto me, no problem. All dharmas I can throw away through the windows. People will think all these things because they are not sishyas yet. They don't have the qualification to listen to this highest vidya. So if you teach this to them, it will only cause them buddhi bedam. So na buddhi bedam janaya. Do not give this kind of confusing teaching to people who are not qualified to learn. So there is a chance of misunderstanding and misinterpretation. So do not let out just like that. See what type of person that is. You have to move with him. You have to observe him for some time. And whether he is mature enough to receive this knowledge, then only you give it. That's why in those days when some Shishya comes to a Gurukula, the teacher doesn't teach him immediately all the vidyas. He will ask him to go fetch water, fetch firewood, cut the things, you know, feed the cows. All these things he will be spending maybe a few years on that only. Every day in and day out. And the teacher will observe how this guy is, how tenacious he is, how perseverant he is. He is going to see all that. And once he is fit, then only he will teach him. So this is why it's called Rahasya. That which is given only to chosen people. That is given to them after finding their fitness. So it is Rahasya. And finally, even if publicly it is given out. Okay, you stand on a platform and give out this knowledge. If a person is not mature enough, for him it will continue to be anyway as Rahasya only. You talk in an audience of, let us say, our second graders or fifth graders, is some PhD material. It is Rahasya to them. It is open though. You openly said, what impact it had in any of them? Nothing. So it is still, even though it is told openly, it is still Rahasyam because none of it made no sense to anybody. They cannot grasp that. So all these big scientific theories, when they are publicized, only a select few people will understand, not others. Everybody will not understand. It's Rahasyam only for that reason. So Vedanta also, if publicly it brought out, it will continue to be Rahasyam only for only those people who can understand that. So such a secret teaching I taught you because I find you to be a fit person. I am adhikari sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. So that's what I thought of you. So you have got shraddha, you have got devotion, bhakti towards me, and you all ask for the knowledge also. Person may have shraddha, he may have devotion and all that, but if he doesn't ask for this knowledge, don't give him. You don't go and volunteer this knowledge to him. You asked for it, I am giving you. Now suddenly Arjuna feels very important. Look at that. Krishna is thinking, I am the worthy Shishya to give this rahasyam, such a secretive knowledge to me. So he also told, you are my friend. So Sakha. So immediately Arjuna becomes very flattered. So he now gets a doubt. So he gains some courage to ask Krishna his doubt in the next shloka. Arjuna Vacha.
Arjuna Vacha. Arjuna Vacha.
Aparam Bhavato Janma.
Aparam Bhavato Janma. Aparam Bhavato Janma.
Param Janma Vivasvataha.
Param Janma Vivasvataha. Param Janma Vivasvataha.
Aparam Bhavato Janma. Param Janma Vivasvataha.
Aparam Bhavato Janma. Param Janma Vivasvataha. Aparam Bhavato Janma. Param Janma Vivasvataha.
Tathame Tad Vijaniyam.
Tathame Tad Vijaniyam. Tathame Tad Vijaniyam.
Tvamadau Proktavaniti.
Tvamadau Proktavaniti.
Katame tadvijaniyam tvamadau prostavaniti.
Katame tadvijaniyam tvamadau prostavaniti. Katame tadvijaniyam tvamadau prostavaniti.
So this is a very genuine question that Arjuna asks. In the beginning of this chapter, Krishna, what did he say? This is the very same wisdom I have taught long ago to Surya Bhagavan. That's what he said at the beginning of this chapter. Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan. That's what he said. I taught this very wisdom to Surya, Surya Deva himself, in the beginning of creation. That's what he said. And in the third sloka, Krishna said, the same wisdom I am teaching you also. Okay. That is, I was the teacher in the beginning of creation, and I am the teacher now also. So that's what Krishna is claiming. So in the beginning, the student was Surya Bhagavan. Now the student is Arjuna, myself. So hearing this, now Arjuna, he gets a doubt. What is that? The time of Surya Bhagavan was when? Thousands and thousands of millions of years ago. That was Surya Bhagavan's time of creation. Long ago. And Arjuna has come after the lapse of several millions of years, he has been born now. So Arjuna and Surya Bhagavan are certainly not contemporaries. Surya Bhagavan is long ago. Therefore, difference of millennia is there. And Arjuna looks at Krishna now. And Arjuna knows Krishna's what date of birth he knows. Janmashtami he knows. When Krishna was born, he knows very well. So he himself and Krishna are contemporaries. Arjuna knows that also, belonging to the same time. In fact, actually Krishna used the word Sakha himself. You are my Sakha. So having almost the same age, similar age. Therefore, Arjuna doubts, okay, O Krishna, you are telling a very, very big lie. You taught Surya Bhagavan, you are teaching me, you are telling a huge lie, because you are of a very recent origin like me. We are all born in the same, around the same time. I can accept that you are my teacher, that's okay, no problem. But how can I accept you taught Surya Bhagavan, and who is very, very elder to all of us? So that's the question he has, the doubt. So I can never accept you as the teacher for Surya Bhagavan. It is a very, very big bluff that you are trying to give to me. So this is the doubt he has. And why does Arjuna develop such a doubt? Because Arjuna does not understand Krishna's intention. He doesn't understand what Krishna means to say. When Krishna said that I have taught Surya Bhagavan, Krishna did not mean that he taught Surya Bhagavan as Krishna himself. He didn't teach Surya Bhagavan as Krishna himself. Certainly, Krishna avatara is recent. Krishna avatara is recent, but the same Krishna was there in the beginning of creation as Vishnu the Lord. He was there at that time, but he has only taken an avatara today. As the Lord Vishnu, he has given this wisdom through the Vedas to Surya Bhagavan. And the same Lord Vishnu has taken avatara today as Krishna, and as Krishna, he is now teaching as Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna today. So the Lord is one and the same, the avatara has changed today. So the difference is Krishna having some other form as Vishnu at that time, Vishnu Rupam, and here he is teaching as Krishna Paramatma. That is what he is doing. But both of them are essentially this one and the same Mahavishnu alone. That fact Arjuna does not understand. It is only another manifestation of Mahavishnu, guise of Mahavishnu, that is the only difference. But Arjuna does not understand this because he does not know that Krishna is an avatara of Vishnu. He doesn't know that. Krishna knows, he doesn't know. So the whole doubt on the part of Arjuna is his ignorance that Krishna is an avatara and not an ordinary person. If Arjuna had known that, he would not have understood. You know, he would have understood that Krishna is Mahavishnu alone, no problem, so everything is no hanky-dory, no problem at all, Krishna is fine. But he does not do this particular fact. Now Shankaracharya, he says he wants to be very kind to Arjuna. He says, no, Arjuna might have known. That's fine. He puts it a very different way. Shankaracharya, he says, he might have known, but other people may not know. The people who read Gita like us, they may not know this. So because other people may not know, Arjuna asks this question for their sake. He says, fine. How these other people in the future who are going to read Bhagavad Gita, they don't understand all this. So for their sake, Arjuna is asking this question. So to help others, Arjuna pretends he does not know, so that Krishna can teach about avataram. Because the topic of avatara otherwise won't come. What is an avatara? Why avatarams have to happen? So all these things, that topic Krishna may not give if this question is not asked. So due to compassion to the people following later, to tell them about avatara, the concept of avatara, Arjuna is asking this question. That is Shankaracharya's interpretation. So from this sloka, we are going to get a very small diversion from Karma Yoga topic, Jnana Yoga topic, from all these into a new topic, the avatara topic. The avatara manifestation topic is going to say, and for this purpose, Arjuna is putting this question. And we know this answer. What is that? Vishnu and Krishna are same. We all know that. Vishnu, we have no problem in accepting that, right? Vishnu and Krishna are same. Vishnu is the original Lord who taught the Vedas, and Krishna is the original Lord in the form of Krishna is teaching Bhagavad Gita, we know. So Vedacharya and Gitacharya are both one and the same, we know. We are all very advanced people, we know that. So what does Arjuna ask now? Bhavataha Janma Aparam. Aparam means recent. It's not param. It's aparam, recent. It's not very long before. So your janma has taken place very recently, certainly less than 100 years also, because I am not that old also. But what about Vivaswan, the other student? Vivaswataha janma param. His janma is param. His is long before. Your janma is aparam. His is param, long ago. So when Mr. Krishna was not there at all. You are here only now, recently. So when this is the condition, my question is, Katam yetate vijaniya. How am I to understand, swallow the idea? What is the idea? Tvam adau proktavan iti. That you yourself taught Surya Bhagavan in the beginning. How can I understand that idea? You could not have taught even my grandfather. You were so young, Saka. You could not have taught even my grandfather. Where is the question of you are teaching to Surya Bhagavan? That's the question. How am I to understand that? I am not that deluded to swallow any bluff, whatever you are giving. I am deluded all right, but I am not that deluded to accept this bluff. So Arjuna accepts that he is deluded. He accepts that. But just because I am deluded, you cannot keep on telling anything and everything to me. So this idea I cannot appreciate at all. So tell me, how are you the teacher of Surya Bhagavan? Tvam adav proktavaniti katam etatim vijaniya. Now Krishna has to answer this question from the fifth shloka. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Bahuni me vyatitani.
Bahuni me vyatitani. Bahuni me vyatitani.
Janmani tava charjuna.
Janmani tava charjuna.
Janmani tava charjuna.
Bahuni me vyatitani. Janmani tava charjuna. Bahuni me vyatitani. Janmani tava charjuna.
Tanyaham veda sarvani.
Tanyaham veda sarvani. Tanyaham veda sarvani.
Natvam veta parantapa.
Natvam veta parantapa.
Sarvani natvam veta parantapa.
Tanyaham veda sarvani
slokas 5, 6, 7 and 8, Krishna is talking about the principle of avatara. The principle of avatara, which is a very, very important concept in our tradition, avatara. Actually, if you make a comparison of Hinduism and other religions generally, we have certain features which are very, very distinct, which differentiate our religion with all others. One such concept is avatara. Avatara is a concept. The manifestation of the Lord in different forms, in many times, not at one time, in many times, which is not there in all other religions. They have a concept of a prophet. There's a prophet in all those religions. If anybody else, actually they have a concept of a prophet. If anybody else claims around that time that he is a prophet, he may even get, you know, what will happen to him, we may not even predict it. It's so dangerous. Only one Christ, one Muhammad is possible. There is no other Christ, no Muhammad possible. They are the only mouthpieces of the Lord. That is all unique in those religions. But in our religion, any number of manifestations are possible. They are called avatars. It's a unique concept. And there are two more important features, even though they are not relevant here, but we will just say that. One is the idea of rebirth, punarjanma. That is also unique for us. In other religion, a person after death goes either to eternal heaven or eternal. That's what he does. And the person to make it or not to make it in this life, that's the only life he has to make it or not make it right here. No other choice at all for him. And the other one is, the Lord alone is manifesting as the universe. In our faith, the Lord alone is manifesting as the universe. We have only Lord, we have only God, nothing else. Okay? And this is the Virat concept. Virat concept. So we can worship everything in creation. The Lord alone manifests as everything. So you can worship anything. If you want to worship a stone, fine. A plant, fine. No problem at all. Another individual, fine. No problem at all. In others, God is where? He is very safely placed somewhere in the heaven. He has his own abode, his own beautiful whatever, 200 bedroom apartment, no problem at all, or a big house. That's why he is somewhere in the heaven. So he is nowhere around here, and they always separate the Lord from the world. Somewhere in some place in the heaven. Whereas in our religion, what we say, Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat. The entire thing is Vishnumayam. So, Vishwakaram Gagana Sadrisham. That is what we always learn. So, these are all the unique concepts. Avatara, Rebirth, and Virat. These are all things. Okay. Now, here we deal with the topics Avatara. It is not the Rebirth and the Virat is not the topic here. Avatara is the topic. And what is an Avatara? Avatara literally means the descending or coming down of the Lord. Right? Avatarati iti avataraha. The one who comes down, who descends down. That which comes down to earth in some form. It can be matsya, kurma, varaha, nrsimha, any form. It can be in any form. So the descent of the Lord is called avatara. The descent means what? Assuming one body or another body. It is not he is coming down climbing so many steps. Assuming one body or another body, that is called the one who is manifestation of all things, is now choosing to assume a body. So that is avatar. So this Lord himself, actually, why should the Lord have to come down to the world? Lord himself is going to tell later, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadushkratam dharma samsthapanarthaya so is sambhavani yugege. Lord himself says. So for the protection of the world, for the maintenance of harmony, the dharma, the Lord himself, he comes down taking one avatara or the other. Since the Lord itself is the creator, he has the responsibility to protect the world also. And so, he appears to protect the world. The Lord has to appear so many times to protect the world when there is a need to protect the world. Since the protecting portfolio is given to whom? It's to Lord Vishnu. Right? Protecting portfolio is for Lord Vishnu. Generally, the avatars are attributed to Vishnu. Because he is the protector. Brahmaji creates, job done. Now Shiva is going to make sure that everything is finally takes into Laya. Now Vishnu is the portfolio of protection. So during that's the largest task now because you know the sentence is there. So he has to take avatara so many times. So many avatars are attributed to Mahavishnu only. Even though Anjaneya is supposed to be an avatara of Shiva, but you don't have so many avatars for Shiva and all. Talked about so much in the Puranas, only for Mahavishnu, because his job is protection. So he has to take so many avataras. So the protection is attributed to him. And when should the Lord take an avatara? Whenever there is disharmony or there is a problem, then alone he has to come. If everything going well, there is no need for him to come. He can be safely wherever he is sitting. Shiravati, he can sleep, no problem. But when there is a problem, he has to come. So when everything is smooth, there is no police needed. When there is a problem only, there is a police needed. Otherwise, when everything, no police. For example, take the body itself. The body, if you take any our body, the body has a built-in an immune defense mechanism. Body has a defense mechanism. Because any harmonious creation must have a defense mechanism built into that. It should be there. Whether it is a plant, whether it is an animal, human body, doesn't matter. But this mechanism, called the immunity or whatever it is, will not function all the time. Right? Sometimes what happens, it will be dormant. Sometimes, you know, some other external thing may come and attack it. And when this when does this mechanism come to work? It is not a regular worker like the digestive system or the respiratory system. But whenever there is a problem, there are certain systems which do not work regularly. For example, the defense mechanism, when it has to come into work only when there is some extra agency, some toxin or something comes into the body to attack the body. Then only that comes to manifest. So when some toxin enters the system, the defense mechanism starts to work. We can see it through the WBC counts may go up. All these things are all by way you can find out how the system is attacking the external thing. For example, in the eye itself, if there is a dirt particle comes, immediately what happens? Tear comes so much. You don't have tears all the time. If you have tears all the time, you have a problem. So when there is some dirt or something falling, dust falling, then immediately the tears start to come so much. Right? So this is a defense mechanism. And when some poison enters into the body, immediately vomit comes. You throw up. It's a defense mechanism so that you get rid of the things. When there is a high temperature in the body, fever, there's a defense mechanism. So any defense mechanism will come to function when there is a danger to the system. This is the general thing which we all understand. Now, we need not have to invite them. The defense mechanism spontaneously comes. It automatically comes. We don't have to invite them to come. And what type of defense mechanism should work depends on the type of disease. Right? What, if, for example, if something enters into the nose, right? Some toxin has entered, some dust has entered. If you shed tears, will it help? No. So the defense mechanism that is required for dealing with this entering into the nose, that alone, so you have to sneeze. At that time, you cannot shed tears to remove the effect of some particle entering into the nose, right? So the appropriate defense mechanism only should come to respond to the respective toxin or whatever it is, okay? So what should come to manifestation depends on the type of danger. So in the same way, in the entire universe is a cosmic body of the Lord. Now we understand from our body. The toxin, tears, all that we understand for our body. If you now think of the entire universe as the cosmic body of the Lord, we have already seen it in the third chapter also. Annad bhavati, bhutani, parjanyatin, annasambhavaha. We have seen all that thing in the harmonious system. There is a harmonious system for all these things. So in a cosmic cycle, in which the human being also is only a part. Okay, he is an organ. In the entire cosmic makeup, the human system is one organ, let us say. So, as long as all the organs are functioning harmoniously, like the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, all the human beings, if they are all doing their duties, following the dharma without any problems, if the humans also do their duty, there will be no need for avatara to come. Yes? No toxins, everything is fine, no problem. Because it's a healthy system. But sometimes, danger comes to dharma. Dharma means what? To the cosmic harmony. The plant kingdom, they behave. The animal kingdom behave. The human kingdom don't behave. So there is a problem here. Some disease. So it causes some problem in the rhythm of the harmony. And the danger comes from which direction? Only one direction. Plants never violate dharma. They just grow according to their dharma. Animals, they don't violate their dharma also. Inert things never violate their dharma. Only the human system violates. So the only source of violation is only the human beings, the so-called roof and crown of creation. They are the people who violate dharma. Even though the human beings are considered the roof and crown of creation, they are the ones who violate dharma. Because of his arrogance and because of his extra power, he begins to destroy forests, plants, animals, all those things. He causes problem to the cosmic cycle. That's what the human being do. And What type of mechanism should come for this to deal with this? According to the type of danger, again, the defense mechanism has to come. If it is Ravana who is causing all these problems, who is creating havoc in the world, and who has, what kind of boon he has got, that he cannot be destroyed by anybody except a human being. Ravana has got that boon. So, but he is causing havoc. To destroy Ravana, what avatara has to come? Only a human being avatara has to come to destroy Ravana. Otherwise, you cannot kill him. So, if Ravana danger has to be destroyed from, for the defense mechanism, the manifestation should be in the form of a human being because of the boon that Ravana got. Right? Similarly, if Hiranyakashipu, who has got a boon is what? He should not be killed in the day or night. He cannot be either inside or outside by a human being or an animal. That is the boon he has got. Then Lord has to take what avatara? Half animal, half form. Has to kill him, not inside the house or outside the house, at the entrance. Not in the day, in the night, the sandhya. So all this time, all these avatara, so depending on the nature of problem, disease, the avatara takes a different form. So it has to be a mixture of Nara and Hari, that's what he took. And if it is the earth going under the ocean, then digging is necessary, right? Because it has gone under the ocean, you have to dig out the earth. Then what avatara the Lord has to take? The animal should be able to move on earth, and in water, should have the defense mechanism automatically comes out to be a Varaha avatara. So the type of avatara they can change depending on the type of problem, the type of that comes as a danger to the society. So we see in human beings also, you know, whatever we see in human beings, we can extend to the cosmic level. So at human level, we call it individual immunity, right? The defense mechanism, we call it individual immunity. At the cosmic level, we call it avatara. So individual level, it is individual immunity, the immune system for the individual. At the cosmic level, we call it avatara. So this is from the analytical and kind of scientific angle. Now let us look at avatara from the Shastra angle. What Shastra says, why should an avatara come? So now, for that we should understand, you know, why should we come? If you want to understand why should avatara has to come, we should understand why should we come first. Are we an avatara? We can ask that question. Are we an avatara? We don't look upon ourselves as avatara. Definitely not. Immediately the moment I said, she nods. I'm not avatara. Unless you call somebody, you are an avatara. Somebody, sometimes you call somebody avatara. We don't want to call ourselves avatara, right? Except in a negative sense. So we have to understand the manifestation of human beings, then only we can understand the manifestation of the Lord. Right? Where do we come? If you ask our question, our coming is caused by two factors. Right? One, our own avidya and karma. Whatever our own ignorance, our own karma, our ignorance and the resultant kartrutva. Kartrutva is doership. Right? Kartrutva. We have got prarabdha karma. And also to exhaust the prarabdha karma, we are born. This we all understand. So the specialty of human appearance is what? Avidya and karma. Prarabdha karma. His own prarabdha karma. Number one. Number two. When a person is, this is his own, right? My own karma and my own avidya had given rise to this janma for me. One factor. Second factor is, when a person is born to a parent's, certainly, it is the prarabdha of the child to exhaust the karma, that is true, but really speaking, it is also the prarabdha of the parents. Such a child is born to them because of their karma. Maybe a great child or maybe that child, we don't know. So what the parents have done, their prarabdha has resulted in such a thing. Not only for the parents, the brother, the sister, the wife, the husband, it is their prarabdha also to get such a companion. Such a brother, such a sister, such a father, such a son, such a wife, such a husband. Why I should, normally people say, why me? Why me? You are your son. Why me? Because you are you. Why me? Answer is you are you. So similarly, all these relationships, they are also the prarabdha of all the other things together. They also have given rise to this janma for me. Right? So when a person is born, not only his or her own prarabdha is there, that is the prarabdha of the entire surroundings, the entire relationship. All of them has been responsible for this particular janma. So the arrival of any individual is because of these two fold prarabdha. One is called Vyashti Prarabdha, that is one's own prarabdha, and the other is called Samashti Prarabdha, that is the collective prarabdha of all the people in the world. That is why when a great Mahatma like Mahatma Gandhi is born, the whole nation says that we are lucky to have such a Mahatma. The entire country says, the entire human race says, we are lucky to have such a person, they say. So in the case of an individual jivas, two prarabdhas operate. His own prarabdha caused by his avidya and karma, and this other factor is the total prarabdha called as samashti prarabdha. So this is for whom? For a jiva, for an individual. And this we call as a janma. For a jiva we call it as a janma. And it is that what happens from the for the first team and the samashti prarabdha. And janma belongs to whom? Jiva. That we have to understand. Janma, birth belongs to jiva. And let us compare now Ishvara's case. Jiva is now, we are clear. How Jiva is born, we are clear. So now let us look at the Ishvara case. Now, if you take Ishvara's case, when Ishvara appears in the form of Rama or Krishna, Matsya, Kurma, whatever avatar it is, there also we find some reason for that. The reason has to be again karma. Because the thing is born means karma should be the thing. And Prarabdha Karma only can give rise to a particular janma, right? Anything has to be born out of the Prarabdha Karma, that is fructifying. So it has to happen. Then we can say that Ishvara's manifestation is because of his karma or Prarabdha, question will come. Right? If my janma is because of my Prarabdha and my karma, my janma is because of that, can we say Ishvara's manifestation, taking the avatara, is because of his karma and his prarabdha or not? That question will come. And we cannot say that, because if Ishvara has prarabdha, it means that Ishvara also has got kartrutva. Unless you have doership, you don't have prarabdha. So Ishvara also then will have kartrutva, and then it means avidya. If Ishvara has doership, it is also the result of avidya, ignorance only. So if Ishvara has avidya, then we require another teacher for Ishvara. Why we call him Ishvara? Because he has no avidya. Now if you consider Ishvara also has avidya, then we need another teacher for that Ishvara. So that means Ishvara has no avidya, Ishvara has no kartrutva, so he has no prarabdha. But avatara is taking place. So his avatara cannot be due to his prarabdha. That is first, among the two factors that we saw for the jiva, first factor is rudra. It is not because of Ishvara's prarabdha. Then what is the other factor? It is the collective prarabdha of all others, right? All other prarabdha only has given rise to my sin. Then was responsible for it. So in the case of Ishvara's case, it is 100% the collective prarabdha of all others and not Ishvara's own prarabdha. Okay? So still they appear because this causes that. So it can only be the samashti karma or the samashti prarabdha of the world that is responsible for the avatara. So now we understand for a jiva, the janma, and the avatara for the Lord. So in the case of Ishvara, the cause for manifestation is only samashti prarabdha. Okay. And when the manifestation is due to both, this is called the janma, we already saw that. So samashti karma matra karanam is avatara, and samashti vyashti ubhaya karanam is janma. Ubhaya karanam is both. Okay. That is why we find in all Puranas, they will show what? First, the world deserves an avatara. They will create a situation in all Puranas. A situation will be created where, oh, the time is so bad now, an avatara has to come. Because there is no choice. Because samashti prarabdha is so strong. So it is so right, an avatara has to come. So the condition of the world is such that it deserves an avatara of the Lord, both positively or negatively. It can be both ways. For example, if you take Rama avatara, they will show the adharmic acts of Ravana were so strong. So to destroy Ravana, Rama has to come. The world needs a human being to destroy Ravana. That's the one thing. And the positive aspect is what? There are so many bhaktas. There are so many bhaktas, and they all want the darshanam of the Lord. They all want to see the Lord. That Their tapas was so strong and they were all so deserving bhaktas. So for them, Lord has to take appearance because they are samipyam. Samipyam is to be close to the Lord. So the Lord has to give them that opportunity to be close to Him because they all have done great punya. They are all Mahatmas. So to be with them, Lord has to take an avatar. So it can be a positive reason or it can be a negative reason. Okay? So this is all. So bhaktas do good karmas seeking the darshan of the Lord. And for example, there is a Shabari, there is a Nakalya. All those people are there. Dasharatha, who have been waiting for years to get Rama. So they are all punyavans. So they have to get Rama. So this is another type of prarabdha only. So there is a good prarabdha of the devotees and the evil prarabdha of the rakshasas. Both of them has given rise to an avatara. Right. And then the Lord comes and does the double-fold job of fulfilling both the good prarabdha of the devotees and the evil prarabdha of the rakshasas. He takes care of it by destroying them. Kara, Dushana, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, all those, Rupanaga, all were destroyed. So this is show what essentially? The samatti prarabdha is ripe for the arrival of the Lord. This is the main difference between the two. And there are some corollaries also for this argument. In the case of Jiva's Janma, for a person, for his birth, Ajnanam is there, Ajnanam is avidya is there, ignorance is there throughout the life. For this person, till he dies, avidya is there for him. If he becomes a Jivan Mukta, it's a different thing. For 99.999% of the people, avidya is there throughout the life. The Jiva will continue to be an Ajnani only. He will die as an Ajnani, again will be born again as an Ajnani, continue to be an Ajnani if it never becomes, if it never gains Jnana. So Jiva is born as an Ajnani because his birth is due to what? Avidya, ignorance. Which continues. That continues after this birth. Whereas for the Ishvara, when Ishvara comes there is no self-ignorance for the Ishvara. Ishvara, does he have self? No, he doesn't have any avidya because he is not born out of avidya and kartrutvam. So he has no self-ignorance. The Jiva has ignorance when it is born, but for the Ishvara, Ishvara is born as a jnani. When Rama avatara takes, born as a jnani. Krishna avatara takes, born as a jnani. But the avatara Ishvara does not have to do karma yoga and jnana yoga and all those things, atma vichara, they don't have to do any of those. Right? They are born jnanis. Avatara does not have any bondage at all. They are bond free, whereas Jiva is bound. Yeah, Jiva, why we are not trying to argue? The moment I said, are we avatara, we all said immediately no. We are trying to understand why we said no. Right? Avatara does not have bondage at all, whereas Jivas have bondage. So a Jiva can become a Jivan Muktaha when bondage goes. But avatara is Nitya Muktaha. For a Jiva alone, he can become a Jivan Muktaha. Whereas avatara is nitya muktaha, nitya mukta surubaha. Then we should not ask the question, should Krishna go to Sandipani in that case? He doesn't have to go, he's a nitya muktaha. He's ever surviving, he doesn't have to go and learn from any teacher, right? Why should he go there? Why should he learn Vedanta? All these are only a drama by the avatara. Because he wants to be in society. He wants to mix with the society. He also acts like a person in society. Otherwise you will put him, you're a nerd. You'll call him a nerd, right? No, he wants to mix with the people and impart knowledge to them. So that is why he takes this, all these things. So matyavataraha kalu matya sikshana. Because he has taken the form of a human being, he also goes through the same education and all these things like a human being. That's what he does. So in the case of Jiva, even after Jivan Muktaha, individual prarabdha is there. People normally used to ask, oh, he was a great jnani. Oh, he also suffered. He also had to go through eye operation and all that thing for Brahmacharya. Say, jnani, he also had to go through, you know, all this. Prarabdha continues. No, till prarabdha is exhausted, nobody can escape. He was a jivan mukta, all right. But prarabdha has to go through. There is no choice. You have taken this janma, that prarabdha has to be exhausted. So they have to, if they are suffering, but it doesn't affect them. But he has to go through that. There is no choice. So in the case of Jiva, even after becoming Jivan Mukta, the individual prarabdha is there. Whereas for the Ishvara avatara, does not have individual prarabdha at all. You know, we are understanding the concept of Janma and avatara clearly, okay? Then the last difference is, a Jiva continues to be an alpajnaha, limited knowledge. Alpajnaha means the person who has only limited knowledge. Right? Limited knowledge, limited power. Alpashaktima, all those things. So even after Jivan Mukti, even after he becomes a Jivan Muktaha, he continues to be limited only because he is still in the relative world.
This continues to mean, so that upadhi drishtaya, he will be still limited. Upadhi is the medium. So from the medium in which he is there, from that angle, he is still limited only. Even though he is jivan muktaha, he is still limited only. As actually Mundaka Upanishad is very nicely said there, he may get sarvajnyatvam, but not sarvavitvam. He won't get that thing because he is still limited, because upadhi drishtaya, from the medium in which he is present, in the relative world, the vyavaharika, in all the practical levels. But the avatara is all the time sarvajnya, ever sarvajnya, all the time it is avatara. So these are all the differences between the janma of a jiva and the janma of an avatara. I'm sorry, avatara. I should not say avatara. Janma, avatara. Then the next question will be what? How many avataras are there? Actually, why I am telling this in detail, this sloka, if you have to understand that, we have to know this concept very well. Then we will come to the sloka. How many avataras can be there? We should not ask this question at all because there is no question of how many avataras are there, because as many times they are needed, they will be there. How many diseases a person can get? So as much as there are problems in society, in the system, the Lord will take always the avatara. So this is the, you know, one day itself, you know, you may sneeze, a person may sneeze several times in one day itself. In several days, he may not sneeze at all. So it depends on how much of that. So in the case of avatara also, in 1 year itself, the Lord may be taking several avataras, or he may not take avataras for several yugas, depending on how the system is, how the harmony of the system gets affected. Okay. So even for yugas, this may not happen. So avataras are what? They are very countless in number. Avataras are not one or two, they are countless in number. That's what Bhagavatam says, avataras are countless. But then why do we say dashavatara? Because this question will come. You are saying countless avatars, but you are saying dashavatar. There are only 10 avatars, right? That's what we say. So if the countless avatars are there, if you have to worship all of them, now you got for Janmashtami is there, Ravanami is there, so many avatars, you are now countless avatars, you will be worshiping all the time. Very difficult, right? So it's going to be physically impossible. So we take only some prominent avatars. So even though there are so many avatars, we take only some prominent avatars. And these 10 are enumerated. Actually, Bhagavatam enumerates 21 avatars. Then are commonly, normally. So it's further abridged to 10. So avatars can be any number. So if somebody asks how many avatars can be there, any number. These 10 are prominent ones. Okay. And the last question will be what? How to know an avatar? That is the biggest question. How to know somebody is an avatar? We know somebody is an avatar. How to know somebody is an avatar? How do we know that? Somebody in a group of so many people, can we say, oh, he's an avatar? Can we say that? We can never know an avatara. Can never know an avatara. There is no external sign. He doesn't come with two horns. No, you can never see, know an avatara. Like Rama avatara, it can be a common man. He may be a common person. You cannot know who is an avatara. It's a matter of belief. Whomsoever you accept as an avatara, it is okay. You think, oh, so-and-so is a Siddha Purushaha. He's a person who is a very knowledgeable person. He must be an avatara. Oh, he is Shiva avatara. He is Vishnu avatara. Say avatara. No problem, whomsoever you think. But you cannot identify that person with any external signs at all. That's an avatara. Because if you say that avatara is something or someone who has got some mystic powers, this person has not a mystic power. So he must be an avatara, right? If normally people say, he has so many mystic, he has created, he can create this from thin air, all that he can do, right? This need not be true because a yogi can have mystic powers. In our thing, you know, people have, there are yogis. Yogis can have mystic powers. Through their yogic powers, they can have some mystic powers. Actually, even the rishis, many rishis were, they were yogis, like Vishwamitra, you know, he created Trishanku, a new, you know, swarga itself he created. He could create yogic powers, tapas, he could do all that. And if you go one step further, if only mystic powers are anything as a criterion for, you know, being an avatara, all rakshasas are mystic powers. Every rakshasa had mystic powers. All these animadi, all these things they had. They could fight in the night, they can disappear, appear, all that thing they could do. So we cannot go by mystic powers to find out whether a person is an avatara or not. Okay? And we cannot even go by sarvajnyatvam. For example, Rama never showed any sarvajnyatvam at all. He had to, yoga vasishtam, Vasishtha taught him all these things. So He never showed any sarvajnyatvam at all. Even though he was an avatara, he never showed that he knows everything. He doesn't know. He went and learned from people. When Sita was stolen, he had to go and search it. He is sarvajnyatvam, sarvashaktiman, he can just go and find there. No. He had to go and search like everybody else. So he doesn't. So even all these things like Sarvajnyatvam, all those things would not be obvious in an avatara. So an avatara might not even need Sarvajnyatvam. May not be. So the presence or absence of Sarvajnyatvam cannot be a criterion for somebody to be identified as an avatara. Then what is the criterion? There is no criterion. We discounted all the criteria. So there is no criterion. A person whose contribution to the world is more and whose individual selfish life is less, who is glorious, we generally accept that person should be a personification, manifestation of the Rāpala. It is all the criteria. How you are in day-to-day life, in the society, to yourself and towards the society, that alone is the metric to find whether somebody is a divine person or an ordinary person. Right? Finally it comes. So, yadyat vibhuti matsatvam, Krishna is going to say later, we find that anything glorious, if a person is glorious in our tradition, you consider that as an avatar. Whatever glories are there in the creation, they are all nothing but my manifestation. So, the Lord says. So, all devotees, they normally consider their guru as an avatar. Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Shankaracharya, all are considered avatars. Every student. Ramakrishna, Ramana Maharishi, considered avatars only. And after some time, Mahatma Gandhi may be considered avatar. As they have done some time. So, it is all our belief. It is all our own belief. We can never prove or disprove. We cannot prove or disprove a person to be an avatar. We can never do that. So, in belief, it is okay. After all, everything is law. That's the belief. So, if you want somebody as an avatar, fine. No problem at all. But we should remember that alone as an avatara, and it is not something a criterion can define it or an appearance can define. Everything is manifestation of the Lord alone. And that is what is said in this shloka. Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacharjuna tanyaham veda sarvani natvam veta parantara. O Arjuna, bahuni janmani me vyatitani. I have taken very many janmas. Janma here means avatara. The Lord is taking. So you can say janma for an individual. For the Lord, I have taken many avatars. I have assumed many bodies. Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Nrisimha, Vamana. I have assumed a lot of those bodies. The same is true with you also. To Arjuna, tavacha bahuni janmani vatitani. You also have taken many janmas. So I have taken many janmas, many avatars. You have also taken many janmas, many avatars. In my case, in your case, it could be a plant, it could be a worm, it could be an animal, it could be another human being, it could be anything. Then what is the difference? I have also taken a lot of janmas, you also have taken a lot of janmas. What is the difference between us two? He says, Aham Tani Sarvani Veda. I know all those avatars of mine. I know what was me before. I was Matsya or Kurma or Varaha or Narasimha or what. I know all of them. I continue to be a Sarvajnaha, even though I may pretend in some avataras as though I do not know. Now, you know, I was like a playmate to you, like a kid. So you may think I didn't know. I was always avatar. Because I am an avatar, I knew all my previous jinmas, my avataras, I know. Parantu, but, tapvam, naveda, you do not know. That is the difference between you and me. In your case, you also have taken a lot of janmas. I also have taken a lot of janmas. But I remember every one of my avatara. Whereas you do not know what your previous janmas were. You may be a human today, this janma. Previously what you were, you do not know. That is the difference between you and me. So this avatara concept, why the Lord knows his avataras, that can be understood only when we understand what an avatara really is. Otherwise, we cannot understand this statement. So the difference is in the knowledge. One knows and the other does not know. One is born as a jnani. The Lord is born as a jnani. As he takes an avatara, he is born as a jnani. And the other one, the jiva, is born as an ajnani. So you are born as an ajnani. So you never knew. Good that he doesn't know for that. We don't know what was his previous janma. Normally there is this, in Kanjipuram and all these places, there is some Nadi Josias. You know, they have this Nadi. So you go to them and the moment you go there, that guy will come and he will take your name and all, he will pick up some, you know, some Satala Patra. He will pick up that and then say, oh, this is Nadi. He will go, he will read in a language which you won't understand perhaps. I have not gone, the people have told me. So they will learn all these things. In the previous Janma you were this, in the previous Janma you were that, you did all these things wrong at that time, that's why you are here like that. He will say all that in the Nadi. But for the Jivas, they have all these instruments, they have to go through all that. Whereas the Lord, He is born a Jnani, Sarvajnaha, He knows all the time. So this is the difference between an avatara and a Janma. Avatara and Janma, very critical difference we should understand. So having pointed out this difference, the Krishna then will tell how an avatara comes into being in the next shloka, which we will see in the next class. Yo veda dao swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya pratirinasya yapparasamheshwaraha. Sri Krishna Arpita.